And you are listening to a Thursday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today I'm joined by a stranger you may not know, Mark Roberts, to discuss the news and box scores from Wednesday night. Mark, how you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. Thanks for having me on the show, Daniel.
Yeah, no, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time, so I'm just glad, you could join my little podcast. It's very exciting for me.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Lots of stuff to talk about, Mark. I mean, first of all, I know we talked about this pre-show and you told me you're going to edit it out, so I want to get this in. I just want to get your quick thoughts about this. I bought, and this may have been my worst purchase in the history of my life. I bought at Urban Outfitters, which I go to almost every day because right next to it is a PetSmart. So I have a dog and we go to PetSmart, and then sometimes we just wander in the Urban Outfitters as well. And they like me because they like my dog, so I bring them in there. I bought a record player at Urban Outfitters.
I don't even know what Urban Outfitters is.
I mean, first, last show, you don't know what Pitch Perfect is. Now you don't know what Urban Outfitters is, really? It's like, I'm trying to think.
Like a department store with clothes?
Yeah, it's definitely got clothes, but it's kind of more like an edgy, kind of like a younger, maybe like a hipster kind of crowd area or a crowd.
Yeah, that might explain why I don't know what it is.
All right, just forget Urban Outfitters, though.
I'm Googling it.
All right, but what are your thoughts on a record player in general? Because, like, I bought this.
And I think there's one piece of information I need. Do you have records?
No, none.
No, it seems like maybe not a great decision then.
Right, so I had to obviously buy, like, three or four. Like, what did I buy? I bought No Doubt. I bought Eminem.
Hold on, you can get Eminem on a record?
Yeah, you can get almost anything on a record. It's pretty amazing, yeah.
So where do you get those at, the Urban Outfitters?
Get them there, or you can get them like online. And then there's a bunch. I live in New York City, so there's a bunch of like record. I'm shocked at how many like record stores and shops there are.
That seems like a very hipster thing to do.
Yeah,
to buy a record player.
And I'm not really a hipster. I bought Michael Jackson. I bought Coyote Ugly, which is another movie you need to see.
oh my gosh.
So anyway, though. I'm very nervous now.
I was feeling like you were pretty legit when you told me that you bought Michael Jackson, because that seems like a good record to have. Yeah, but then when you told me you bought a soundtrack to like a C movie from the 90s, that made me feel less legit about it.
One, I'm happy that you've heard of that movie, first of all. I thought for sure you've never even heard of Coyote Ugly. And two, the soundtrack is really good. And I did buy one other album that I wasn't even going to mention, but I feel like, me and the viewers are getting pretty tight. I did buy the album to Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh my goodness.
And I feel a little odd about that one, I'm not going to lie.
I feel like you should only play music on there that was around when records were a thing. Like you should have an Elvis Presley record. Or who else?
I mean, like the Beatles you need, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you told me you bought I got the Beatles record and I got even Michael Jackson's probably okay, and I got the Beach Boys and I got some Elvis records. I'd be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. If you're paying the Coyote Ugly soundtrack, like any soundtrack that you're playing on a record player.
First of all, in my defense, there was a section called like staff, what was it, like staff picks or something like that.
Okay.
Coyote Ugly was there. So like, even the staff knew that was a killer record to buy. So like I jumped at that when I saw Coyote Ugly was one of the staff picks.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some basketball, though.
Is that your jam? Like, is that your kind of music?
What? The Coyote Ugly?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't even know what that is. But like, I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to music. So I like, I like the pop music. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I liked Bieber back in the day. I liked NSYNC and Backstreet. I liked all that stuff. I loved Britney, Christina, 98 Degrees. I could keep going on and on. But then I also like hip hop. I like rap, So I'm eclectic. But again, I think like over under, like of like 10 in like 10 days, I may never listen to use the record player again. So I'm very nervous that this may not have been the, very wise purchase for me.
Gotcha.
But again, this is around the holidays time, impulse buying, it happens.
Sure. You can give it as a present if you get to Christmas and feel like that wasn't a good choice.
Right. It would make a really good present.
Sure.
For like an older person maybe too or something. I don't know.
Or somebody that has a hipster lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So I had to get out of the way because it's been like, even as I'm talking to you right now, like the record player is like looking at me, haunting it. It kind of haunts me. Like, because
you kind of wish you had that $300 back or whatever it cost. It
wasn't that much, but I mean, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did overpay a little bit. Anyway, so basketball, as always, today was a monster slate. I think there were 12 games, which if you play DFS, that's just a lot of games, so much data to analyze. So it was kind of an ugly slate, not for DFS purposes, but lots of games, lots of news, lots of things to talk about. Why don't we start with one of our favorites, and that's Jason Kidd.
Okay.
And so Jason Kidd, you know, because again, him and Scott Skiles have nightly calls where they want to mess around with our fantasy lives. He tweaked the starting lineup tonight. Well, first of all, we should say Greg Monroe, who was a late scratch yesterday, which kind of came out of the blue to most of us, and like was like 10 minutes before tip off too when it got released. It was really late, so he is now out 1 week with a knee issue that he may or may not have got at a strip club. That's allegedly, I'm not really sure what happened there, Mark. But so he's out. And so Jason Kidd yesterday started John Henson, which made sense. And today, though, Jason Kidd decided to start Miles Plumlee. That's right. There's another Plumlee. And I think we still have another one that's probably going to enter the NBA any day now. So Miles Plumlee got the start tonight for Milwaukee. And Kidd finally started MCW out of nowhere. So, and forgetting this, Giannis comes off the bench.
Yeah, you buried the lead there, man. That was the big story, I thought. Yeah.
So, I mean, a bunch of things going on from Jason Kidd tonight. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we talked about Michael Carter-Williams a lot yesterday, which was, and I think the story is basically whether he's a starter or whether he's coming off the bench, I think he's worth owning right now.
Yeah, he was tremendous, by the way.
Yeah, it's a little bit like depending on your fantasy team, whether you can stomach some of the bad things that he gives you, but he gives you enough good things. He's definitely worth it, especially if you're punting the categories, which he's bad in. So I don't think this really moves the needle much for MCW. I don't think he's going to get a ton more playing time in the starting rotation. There are some coaches where their starting lineup, like players, if they're in the starting lineup, play a lot more minutes than if they come off the bench. And Jason Kidd really isn't one of those. So I don't really care that Michael Carter-Williams is in the starting lineup or not. Like, I think he's going to play. Giannis coming off the bench, if it truly is what Jason Kidd said, which is he basically said, I want to see if he scores better with the second unit.
Right.
I think Jason Kidd can play a player off the bench 35 minutes and it doesn't hurt his value. What I'm worried about, and I'm certainly not accusing anybody of anything, but there was some off the court issues with the Bucks, and now Giannis is magically coming off the bench. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to look closely at his minutes over the next few games and try to make sure that he's not being punished in some way. I wouldn't use him in any short term, DFS. I would stay away from him until we see what the situation really is, because Jason Kidd is never going to give us the full story. He's one of those guys that would would suspend the player and then just tell the media he's hurt. So, but so far, Giannis, halfway through the second quarter, is leading the team in minutes. He has 15 minutes. So at that pace, he's on pace to play like 40, 45 minutes. So, I'm not worried about him yet. I'm just monitoring the situation. And I would guess that it's short term. I would guess within a few games, he's back in the starting lineup. That would be my expectation.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you in terms of Giannis. Like, I'm not really concerned at all. Like, Giannis was not playing, I don't think, that great the last few weeks anyway. But, and certainly he hasn't – I don't think he's hit expectations, that we all – earlier in the year, he started out, I thought, really well. And then he kind of – the last few weeks, it just hasn't looked right on the court, quite honestly. But in terms of, the rest of the year, I'm not worried at all about Giannis. I think his minutes are going to be around 32 a game, regardless of if he's starting or coming off the bench. So that doesn't concern me.
Now, don't bury him too hard. Like, in the last couple of weeks, he's last 2 weeks, he's played 7 games. He's averaged 36 minutes a game. He's scoring over 14 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, almost a steal, a block and 1.3 blocks, shooting 48% from the field. That's pretty solid production. I know everybody's waiting for the day when Giannis scores like 25 points a game, but you know, you could do a lot worse than 15, 8, 4, and almost a steal and over a block a game.
Yeah, no, and he's been good. He's been a little, what's like a word right below good? He's been sufficient. How about he's been sufficient? Yeah. But I know a lot of us, including me, had expectations where this is going to be his big breakout year, and I don't think he's hit that level yet. You know, so and in terms of where he was being drafted, I'm not sure if he's hit that level. I mean, but again, he's still a very good fantasy player, and you know, and in no way should you get crazy and go dropping someone as talented as Giannis. But again, with a guy like that much upside, I think we're all waiting. You know, when's that 14 points going to hit 18 points or maybe 19 points? So,
well, and I like that you said something reasonable, because I think some people are waiting for 25 points a game.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I guess that it could, but I'm not expecting it, I think is the way that I would say it.
I don't think that's his game. He's not a scorer. He's not someone who's just going to put up 25 a night, you know? He's going to fill up that box score, and there's going to be nights where he gets 25, 30 points, but I don't think he's going to be a 25-point scorer. I think he's going to, you know, ultimately, if he could settle in around 20 points, I think I'd be thrilled with that, you know, ultimately. Yeah.
I think the real question here is, do we care about Miles Plumlee?
Right. I think that's why I led off with that instead of Giannis. Yeah, yeah. Right? The real question is, what do we do now? Because John Henson, in terms of like fantasy production, he's a fantasy point per minute monster. So, So when I heard Monroe, because of his maybe dancing on a stripper pole, maybe not, is going to be out a week, I, you know, especially in DFS land and even some in my season leagues, I, you know, I picked him up, you know, and he did not play that well yesterday. Milwaukee got blown out. But so then to see Plumlee starting today, I was not pleased with that. And then I'm trying to figure out, is Plumlee really going to be fantasy relevant? Are they just going to share time? You know, kind of, so what's your thoughts on that?
So I think in the next week or whatever that Monroe is out, I think Plumlee probably has a monster game. Like, really? I think he probably, I would guess so. Yeah. I mean, that happens, but I think there will also be, let me preface that by saying it's probably like 9 points, 14 rebounds and 5 blocks or something like that. But there's no way you're going to be able to guess which one it is. And I think it will be surrounded by games where he plays 6 minutes. Like very hard to predict Jason Kidd's rotation. Like, I think he'll probably continue to start, but I just don't think we'll be able to predict which game he plays 6 minutes, which game he plays 35.
But for like the next week or so, would you take a flyer on Henson? Because I still would. Henson.
Yeah, I think Henson is your better bet if you want to try to take advantage of the situation. But again, I think that there are going to be times where he still plays 10 minutes, even though it seems clear that, like, I even think there'll be games where they both play less than 12 minutes in the game and they go with some other strange lineup with like Johnny O'Brien gets 24 minutes and Giannis plays a little bit of center. Like, I think it's really tricky to try to take advantage of an injury situation in Milwaukee, just because we don't know what Jason Kidd's going to do.
Yeah. I mean,
like if I knew that Henson was going to get 24 minutes a night, I would be all over that, because you're right. He's a very proficient player. Like, he does things, you know, he produces stats. He gives you lots of rebounds and blocks at like a very almost elite level of production. It's just, it's unpredictable to know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I had two leagues where I had, you know, I basically keep a spot that I can rotate every week. And I jumped on Henson in both of those leagues. And even though the fact that he's not starting and Plumlee's starting, it annoys me. But like, I would be shocked. Well, I guess you can't be shocked with Jason Kidd in his rotation, but I'd be really surprised if he's not getting at least 20 minutes a game this next week or so. So, and again,
I don't doubt that he'll average that, but I think I think it'll be 15 and then 30 and then 10 and then 5 and then like 40.
Okay, but even if it is that, I can live with that, because I think that's enough for Henson like to win me blocks for a week. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
So I'm not – am I like overly ecstatic, you know, with anything that's going on in Milwaukee right now? No, and with all the shakeup today, not really. But if there's a guy like, who would take a flyer on it, I wouldn't mind Henson for a week. So
no, I think that's a good point. And you're right. Like, I think he probably could average 2 blocks a game in that time frame that Monroe's out. Just realize it might come with like 6 points and 6 rebounds.
Okay. Yeah, no, totally agree. And also though, if you're playing DFS, you know, usage in terms of usage rates. I mean, Monroe is about a 22% usage rate. So with him off the court, he was the highest for the Bucks. So with him off the court, there's going to be more shots. So right now at the box score, it's tough to, you know, again, they're still late in the second quarter against the Clippers when we're taping this, but there's going to be more shots. So I mean, I think, you know, Chris Middleton, you know, definitely in the next week's going to see an uptick. I like MCW, you know, and then Giannis, as long as he can get those minutes. But there's definitely going to be a lot more shots to go around than that, you know, without Monroe in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seems so strange to me that he would sit Giannis with Monroe out. Like, I do think it's worth just monitoring the situation. And yeah, like I said, tonight looks fine, but just keep an eye on it.
I mean, he did say, like, and this was, you know, before, well before any alleged incident that might may or may have not happened last night. But, you know, Kidd did say he wanted to play Giannis, you know, more with the second unit. So, again, this is taking it one step further, basically putting him in the second unit at all times. But, you know, we'll see. Again, like you said, he's leading the team in minutes right now and is going to play about 17 or 18 in the first half. So not overly concerned. But let us move on, my friend. We have other news to discuss. Let us discuss another good friend of the show. I don't know why I just said that. I don't think he's a good friend of the show. But Sam Mitchell and what he's doing in Minnesota. Very, to me, you know, if you're making a list of coaches who are frustrating to own for to talk about for fantasy purposes, Kidd would be very high on the list. And Sam Mitchell wouldn't be far behind him, man. So all day long, there were rumors about, you know, Minnesota's going to shake up their starting lineup. So, in the, you know, the DFS community, we all thought it's going to be Zach LaVine, probably, and Gorgui Dieng moving into that, you know, starting rotation because they've been getting nothing out of Kevin Martin, you know. So, and Gorgui Dieng's been playing really well. He's been getting about 25 minutes anyway, you know. And you know, how long is Mitchell really going to go with Garnett, and, you know, and another older player that we're going to talk about, in a second. So, you know, we all were hoping, at least in the DFS community, that it's going to be I think fantasy in general, because Zach LaVine is a great fantasy player, I think. So the news comes out. What's Sam Mitchell going to do tonight? And he starts Benjamin Button himself, Tayshaun Prince, who began the season starting, but then got taken out for you know, the slightly younger Kevin Martin, and then but Sam Mitchell also did start Gorgui Dieng. Now that may or may not have been because Kevin Garnett sat out tonight, but hopefully that we'll see. You know, I'm not sure if that's going to stick or not. I hope it sticks. I think it should stick. But so that's what Sam Mitchell did. He started Tayshaun Prince, and he started Gorgui Dieng. And so, what are your thoughts, Mark Roberts?
Yeah, and this is another situation where starting doesn't necessarily mean play big minutes. You know, we've seen Kevin Garnett all season be the starter when he plays.
But I don't mean to cut you off, but
yeah,
the thing I'll say about that though, even though these guys are starting, they're still taking, you know, not playing big minutes. They're still taking away minutes, you know, and there's a big difference between, you know, like Zach LaVine got 29 minutes tonight, whereas Tayshaun Prince got 21. So you could say, well, who cares if Tayshaun Prince is starting? That's still like, if you would take like 6 to 7 of those minutes and give them to Zach LaVine, that makes such a big difference in terms of fantasy. You know, then if Zach LaVine's getting 35 minutes tonight instead of 29. So even though he's only a token starter, the fact that he's playing at all,
But I mean, like, Garnett's only playing 15 minutes a game. So, like, how do you want him to play Garnett 0 minutes?
No, see, the thing that Tayshaun Prince 0 minutes, yes. Kevin Garnett, like, if you look at his advanced stats, he's actually still a really solid defender. So I don't mind them playing Kevin Garnett like 10 to 15 minutes a game. Like defensive rating is actually, you know, really high. So I have no issue with them playing Kevin Garnett, but Tayshaun Prince, who gives you nothing on the court, you know, again, I was trying to think, did they start him tonight to guard Carmelo? I mean, this is not 2004 let's go back even further. I mean, he may have not even been relevant then. Like 2000.
No, Garnett is actually still very good, even on a per minute basis. Like right. His per 36 numbers, he's averaging 11 rebounds per 36 minutes, four assists, two steals, and a half a block.
Right. So I'm totally fine with giving him 2 minutes. But Tayshaun Prince, like, I don't think he should be playing a second. I don't think he should be playing a second in the D League in China.
I have a hard time with Tayshaun Prince because he's probably my least favorite player of all time. When he was good 100 years ago, I was a huge Pacers fan. Like, Reggie Miller is my favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
And I just hated that Pistons team that they would go up against.
Why was Reggie your favorite player of all time? And why were you an Indiana Pacers fan?
Because of Reggie Miller.
No, I know, but like, why? Like,
yeah. So when I was a little kid, when I was like 5 years old or 8 years old or something, my family and brothers were all watching the NBA playoffs, and I saw the play, like the first time I actually watched basketball, it was a play where Reggie Miller scored those 8 points in 8 seconds.
Against the Knicks, yeah.
And that was it for me. I was just like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
What, was that 94 or 90? Yeah,
94, 93, 94.
Yeah. Like, I still remember that too.
Yeah, so I was a little kid, and like as a little kid, you know, any little thing gets you excited. And I grew up in like Southern Idaho. Like, we don't have an NBA team. So, you know, watching the playoffs, I saw this amazing thing on TV, and I was like, and I watched Reggie Miller like giving it to the Knicks fans. And I was just like, that guy is awesome.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, you get stuck with that. But the thing is, the difference was I always enjoyed going against, like, when they played the Knicks. Like, that was a fun rivalry. I hated the Pistons rivalry. Like, those guys were just such jerks. And Tayshaun Prince was, as you know, he was a big part of that.
The Pistons had meant, like, was he the Piston you liked the least? Was he like the one?
Ben Wallace is probably number one.
Ben Wallace. Who else? Like, Chauncey Billups was there. Who else was there?
He was such a jerk. They're all jerks. I don't like it. I don't like any of them. And it's funny because Kyle's favorite team is the Pistons. So right, we just gave each other garbage about that.
All right. So you hate Tayshaun Prince. You can't be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would just assume Tayshaun Prince never play basketball again. But, and he's not going to be fantasy useful. I just don't think that they're going to play him that much. Like, I think he's going to still play, 8 to 12 minutes. I know he played a little more than that tonight.
21 tonight, and his stat line was just stellar. 1 for 3 from the field, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 0
steals. But generally he's been in like the 15 minute range. So my point is, I think that even if that's his role to play 15 minutes, I think there should be enough time for Levine. Still played almost 30 minutes. I think the story here is, like, if Jang is going to start and play 36 minutes,
yeah,
he's probably already owned in your league. But that's kind of like a big difference. That's a big change from what they were going to do earlier in the season when they weren't going to play. They originally weren't going to play Towns and Dang at all together, and they both played a ton tonight and played well together.
Dang basically forced their hand. I mean, he's been so consistent and playing so well now for like over a couple of weeks. I would have liked to see more than 9 shots tonight, but again, like, Towns took 21 shots. So it's going to be tough for Gorgie to get a lot of shots, but, you know, 10 rebounds and, you know, full stat line.
That felt like a jab at Towns. Was that a jab at Towns?
No, it was more a jab at I didn't play Towns in DFS tonight. You can always tell by my tone occasionally, like, if I'm, you know, I played Okafor like a lot tonight, and I faded Towns, and Towns had by far the
never
better.
Fade Towns, man.
Oh, trust me. Like, I played him a lot this year, and he's crushed me. Just crushed me. And some of that is Sam Mitchell, because some games like, he got in quick foul trouble. Other games Sam Mitchell would play him like, you know, 18 minutes. So Towns has been a streaky player to own, you know, for DFS purposes. But tonight, you know, great game, and the 21 shots was tremendous to see. You know, if you have him in season long or if you play him in DFS. But like, yeah, I'm with you. If Gorgie Jang is available in your league, I'd scoop him up, and I really don't even care if he's going to start or not. If he's going to start, that's just an added bonus.
Yeah, and I've been kind of – I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear me say that, because I've been so anti-Gorgie Dang this year, and that's basically because I didn't think they would play him enough minutes. but that has turned around in the last 5 or 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, like the box score to this game is actually interesting for Sam Mitchell, because normally none of the starters were really getting over 30 minutes a game. And tonight, Wiggins 37, Rubio 34, who had a monster game with 8 steals, 12 assists, 10 rebounds.
Again, he approached a quadruple-double. That was the most exciting part of my night tonight.
I saw you on Twitter.
Rubio was going to get to the triple-double or quadruple-double.
I mean, God forbid he gets to learn how to shoot a jump shot. But that's a story for another day. I love seeing the 34 minutes though for Rubio. That was really, for me, even though he had the great, you know, 8 steals and the, you know, his line was tremendous, seeing the minutes finally getting, you know, above 30 was nice to see. And then Gorgui Dieng 36 and Towns 32. Like this year, if you look at this Minnesota box scores, you know, take a swag of whiskey, because like they have not been getting, the starters barely played 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all good to see. So, I mean,
that's sort of a different approach than Flip Saunders would take, because last year he would play like 4 or 5 of his starters 40 minutes plus a game.
That's what's been so frustrating, like for watching Sam Mitchell. Like, I don't know what the hell he's been doing. It's like, it's like the opposite of what Flip Saunders like normally does. Like, normally the Minnesota guys were lock and load. Like, you knew what you're going to get. You know, it was similar to, you know, like what Stan Van Gundy's doing this year, playing all the starters like 37 to 40 minutes. And that has not been the case. And I don't know why Sam Mitchell wouldn't give all the young guys, you know, let them play. It's very bizarre, you know? So, because they're a horrible team. I mean, so, all right. Anything else you want to talk about from the Minnesota New York games? It was an exciting game.
Porzingis had a nice game. He had 7 blocks.
I mean, hit a 3-pointer. I mean, he still didn't shoot well at all. 4 for 14, only 6 rebounds. But the 7 blocks, I mean, dear God, like just tremendous.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's so fun to watch, even when he stinks up, you know, stinks up the joint. All right, let me ask you this in terms, because I don't, you know, like the New York for the Knicks, what do you, in terms of the, like their center position, like Robin Lopez, there's been all kinds of rumors here in New York about if Derek Fisher is going to change the starting lineup and if he's going to give, you know, and I know, again, in DFS land, you know, there was lots of talk about someone who last year actually got a lot of pub, did not live up to it in Orlando, and that's Kyle O'Quinn. Like, when he gets minutes, he is a fantasy monster. Like, he's kind of similar to John Henson. Like, and he's gobbles up, he's a fantasy point per minute guy, and like could become relevant if he would get minutes. Do you see in any way something happening in New York that would allow that to happen?
Yeah, he's never going to get the minutes. I don't know if I can tell you, I can articulate why, but we've just seen him in too many situations not get the minutes. There's something about the guy.
But one word is he fouls too much, right? He does. Like,
yeah, tonight, that's part of it.
Tonight, 5 fouls, 17 minutes. It just doesn't stop fouling.
And I don't know if it's something in his game, but he seems like 20 minutes seems to be his cap.
Yeah.
He's played a couple of games more than that. And you're right. Like, it is tantalizing to sit there and look at like the what ifs, but I'm not going to bite until I see it happening. Like, until I see him play 30 minutes a couple of times, I don't think I'm going to get too excited about it. Their best lineup would be Porzingis at the 5 and Carmelo Anthony at the 4, but I doubt they ever actually go that way because Carmelo Anthony still envisions himself as a 3. So I think they're going to keep going with that until – I just think they could get so much faster and they could play such a more interesting game. And it would be so much harder to guard. Like, imagine if Porzingis is matching up against your center and Carmelo's matching up against your power forward.
I mean, I'm with you. I think that the Knicks could actually be interesting because, like, you know, another player who's too old and too slow shouldn't be getting minutes. Like, if they gave, you know, Galloway more minutes and didn't play Calderon so many minutes. And
that seems to be trending in the right direction, though. Galloway had 32 minutes and Calderon had 25.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, but I'm with you. If the Knicks went small like that, they could give teams a – matchup problems.
That's a tough matchup to right? be Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I'm with you. Like, the question really comes is Carmelo willing to play that 4 role and really bang down low with guys like Derek Favors, who we'll talk about in Utah, who we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Carmelo wants to really do that with his body right now. First of all, I don't know if Carmelo's body could even sustain that. You know, again, he's got so much wear and tear on him playing, you know, 40 minutes a game for, what, 13 years.
So. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think there's a couple of things there, though. Like, as everybody starts going smaller, like, now when he plays Indiana, he can match up with Paul George. And that's not a problem. I mean, he can't guard him, but nobody can guard Paul George. But there's no wear and tear that comes from that.
True.
Like, you know, as the league goes smaller, as every team goes a little bit smaller, like, I think if he played Golden State, I think he's the right matchup for Draymond Green. And again, he can't guard him, but he's their best option. So, and the other thing is, like, as he gets a little older and slower, I think that's probably going to work out better for him than to try to guard wing guys.
Yeah, I've been surprised, and I wanted to look. I didn't have time. I want to take a look at the advanced stats to see, like, how many, like, what's his percentage on, like, post-ups per game versus, you know, like, floating on the perimeter. Because when I watch him, he's on the perimeter still way too much, like, and settling for, you know, long two contested jumpers that are really inefficient. And I'm with you. Like, he should be down. He's a big boy, man. He should be down on the post operating and abusing.
Well, if he's going to play small forward, they've got to utilize his size.
Right, but, like, I don't think they do that enough, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So,
but I think he could be a great man in the middle of the triangle. Like, I think you put him there.
Are they still playing the triangle?
Yeah.
But when you watch it, do you see the triangle?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll go, like, weeks without seeing the triangle. Then I'll see, like,
oh, really?
And then I'll see one play, and then I'll, you know, I'll be, and then you hear the announcers talking about, oh, there's that triangle. Like, I mean, I think they run it, like, I mean, a little bit, but I mean, like, I don't, you know, I'm not sure how, if that's really their, the offense that they're running.
I guess I'll have to watch it closer. I wasn't.
Next time you're watching the Knicks game, just, like, you know, watch, like, 10 straight possessions and watch how many times they're actually running the triangle.
All right.
So, all right. So let's move on. Some other news that was interesting. I know one of your favorite players, but we can talk about Alec Burks for Utah. Because Utah, again, more shakeups in the lineup tonight. Quinn Snyder got in on the action, and he went with there's the Utah box score. I'm already there. So he started, and I know this is, you know, one of my favorite players, probably yours too. He started Jeff Withey at center, and then he benched Nato again, their point guard. And he put in Alec Burks at the point guard again. And we saw 2 games ago, we saw Quinn put in Burks at the point guard, and he went back to it tonight. So I know we kind of got in a debate where you don't think Burks, you know, gives you much value, but do you think anything about, you know, him, you know, Quinn going back to Burks tonight, and also the new addition of Withey starting is anything we need to keep our eyes on?
Why don't you tell us how Alec Burks did tonight?
All right, I'm not going to lie to you. He didn't have the best game in the world. He struggled a little bit shooting the ball. I like, first of all, 33 minutes, which I liked. He was 2 for 10, though, from the floor.
One of the exercises I always like to do is say, like, what if he shot a good percentage? So,
right.
You know, because bad games happen, but we're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. So assume he didn't shoot 2 for 10. Assume he shot 5 for 10. Which would be a normal night. So he gets, so instead of 8 points, you give him 14 points. So in 33 minutes, Alec Burks gets 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 3-pointers.
Normally he'll hit a three. Come on.
No, I mean, this is, I'm kind of driving at a point here, which is basically like, he's an average scorer. He doesn't get you assists. He doesn't get you steals. He doesn't get you very many steals, blocks, or 3-pointers. And so even if he's going to play minutes, all he can do is kind of score at a mediocre level. He's not going to give you all-around stats. So there's no point in holding on to him.
I'm going to ask you, okay, I mean, we don't really have to debate Alec Burks much more. I mean, for the most part, I'm with you. Like, I don't think he's – I'm just saying if he's going to get that many minutes, he could become like a – at best, probably like a borderline fantasy player on your team. But yeah, he's not going to knock your socks off.
Like, if he gets 30 minutes, it's probably going to be 15 points, which is respectable, but not great. But he's not going to get, like I said, we always talk about the 3-pointers, steals, and blocks. He's not going to be over one of those, any one of those categories. He's not going to be over one per game in any one of those categories. He's going to be less than four rebounds, less than three assists. I just don't care.
Let me ask you. I'm going to ask you a question about Utah. So if you're looking at the box score, don't look at it for a second. Who do you think led their team in assists today?
Normally I would guess one of their point guards, although we know that they didn't play. So normally I would guess Gordon Hayward, but I'm guessing you wouldn't think that is interesting. So let's say Favors.
Yeah, it was a tie with Derek Favors, though, had five assists, and that led the team with Trey Burke, who shockingly had five assists. Didn't think he could,
Is that his career high?
Which one?
Trey Burke.
It may be. I mean, I wouldn't think he'd get five in a season, and he got five in one night. He put up 13 shots in 28 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, like, Utah is very frustrating to me. Like, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, they lost to the Pelicans tonight.
They're kind of on a slide, which is probably why they put Withy in the starting lineup. Now, Withy didn't, yeah, he only played 17 minutes. So Booker's still the starter. I think they're just trying to tinker and get out of this slump a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
Rodney Hood was coming back from an injury, so that might be why Trey Burke played so many minutes. Trey Burke played 28 to Rodney Hood's 21. I wouldn't expect that to continue.
I think in this game Hood actually got banged up too. So that's
why. Oh, did he?
Yeah, he banged knees.
The good thing is you're right, and then he did return to the game.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that
probably explains a little bit why he only played 21 minutes. I wouldn't panic on him yet. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they can tinker on beyond this. They really need Gobert back.
I'm with you. I mean, again, one of the most frustrating teams to me, and even looking at this box score, I mean, Gordon Hayward, 40 minutes, two assists, when he should be running the offense, and only 11 shots. In 40 minutes,
got to the line a lot, though.
He did, but yeah. And Gordon Hayward's actually been putting up nice numbers last week or two, especially since Gobert went out. But I just don't know why his assists.
I agree. It's the assists that are sort of surprising there.
It's mind boggling to me. I don't understand it. Like, because again, like 17 assists as a team, like they have no one to run any type of offense. So, you think he would just stumble into some assists. Gordon Hayward, because he does have the ball a lot. Like it's very bizarre. Let's move on. Let's talk about one more team tonight. So we can talk. I know Thanksgiving has passed, but there's been some gravy sighting. Gravy juice was the dripping tonight in Washington. Actually, no, in San Antonio, because that's where Washington played tonight. Jared Dudley. He didn't start, man. The gravy juice of Jared Dudley, who. I'm not lying, man. He must weigh 250. I'd put the over under at 250. You going over or under?
That's a tough one. When I saw Jared Dudley the first time this season, I thought my immediate reaction, even though I knew Paul Pierce was on a different team, I was like, what happened to Paul Pierce? And Paul Pierce isn't exactly slight of frame,
Yeah. Especially as the years have gotten up and Paul Pierce has gotten older. Yes.
But I was like, oh my goodness, Paul Pierce gained 30 pounds this summer.
Yeah.
I'd go over.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I mean, I'd put it at three. I think three bills is where we got to put the number at. It's interesting for Washington. Say, obviously, Washington is without Bradley Beal because, God forbid that guy could stay healthy or Washington could actually manage his minutes to a – reasonable level to keep him healthy. So, no Beal. So again, Gary Neal got the start today. It's at the two. Now I played him in DFS and he picked up two fouls in 1 minute. Now, how does Gary Neal, who doesn't play defense anyway, pick up two fouls in 1 minute? It was mind boggling, but that's besides the point. So Gary Neal got the start today though, which was interesting.
Here's the thing though, is it takes a stupid coach to assume that Gary Neal is going to keep fouling and that he's actually in foul trouble.
Totally agree with that as well, right?
I mean, a smart coach like Popovich would just leave him in and say, hey, Gary Neal doesn't foul, even though he had two fouls. Like, he's not in foul trouble.
That's such an excellent point. Like, I'm giving you in my scorecard two bonus points because I keep score during our shows on who's winning arguments. Like, that's a fantastic point. These coaches, it's the same thing in NFL where you see you know, like if you look at like the stats on like 4th and 1 and 4th and 2, they should be going for it. But like, just because for so long, you know, everyone else, you know, punts. So we got a punt, or, you know, why go for two? It's the same thing in the NBA with these stupid fouls. Like you said, there's certain players, what they're not in foul trouble just because they have 2 fouls in the first quarter or 4 in the fourth quarter or whenever it is. Like, they're really not in foul trouble. And like, so yeah. So, but yeah, they took out Gary Neal after a minute. and that's why he only played 22 minutes tonight, even though he started. Last game, they actually started Garrett Temple at the two. So, and tonight, Garrett Temple only got 11 minutes. But, you know, Chris Humphreys was back. So he started tonight at the power forward position, played 29 minutes, gave you 9 rebounds, didn't do a whole lot else, 8 points. But that put our boy Jared Dudley to the bench, who's been soaking it up, you know, and getting like 30 plus minutes a game for the last 2 weeks. So does anything that went on in Washington, you know, kind of stand out to you? Because I've been trying to figure out, you know, again, for especially for DFS, but, you know, fantasy season long too, who's going to benefit the most, you know, with Beal out? Is it going to be Neal, or is it going to be Sessions? Is it going to be Temple? You know, all those guys are kind of been in play. And also a guy who got minutes tonight, Mark, a guy who I've been kind of waiting to see if he'll get minutes, Kelly Oubre, 25 minutes tonight. Which and 15 shots, which was 18 points. So a really interesting stat line. You know, Washington's been struggling. They need a spark. They need a shakeup. You know, what do you think is going on here?
So you asked me a couple of questions. I think the winner of the Bradley Beal being out, and it may not even be because Bradley Beal is out, is John Wall. I heard a report today that he had an injured ankle to begin the season, and he did start off kind of slow.
Horrible.
But in the last 8, let me tell you about what's happened in his last 8 games. He's playing 37 minutes a game, which is probably a little too high. Randy Whitman, you need to pump the brakes a little bit. But he's averaging 22 points, 4-5 rebounds, 11 assists, almost 2 steals, 1.5 three-pointers, and a half a block a game, shooting 48% from the field, 89% from the free throw line. He is playing excellent.
And let me just add on, his usage rate without Beal is over 30%.
Yeah, I think that's just going to continue. We kind of expected a big breakout from Wall this season. I think it didn't happen because he was hurt to start the season and he was playing through it. I think he's healthy now. He's been awesome the last few games. I think if there's any way for you to take advantage of that situation, either via trade or in daily or no halftime challenge, I think that's the guy to do it. In fact, Daniel, I think I would take Wall against almost any other point guard out there if we did a no halftime challenge.
And that's interesting, Mark. And let me tell you something about no halftime too. I mean, I can't stop playing. I'm addicted to this app. I know you are as well. It's actually just, you know, I think by now, if you're listening to the show, hopefully you've heard of no halftime. Hopefully you've downloaded it. Again, it's basically a one-on-one, you know, can we say it's like it's similar to DFS? It's basically one-on-one fantasy matchups a night. Again, you can pick basically any players you want in the league. What's cool is you don't even have to, like Mark just said, you can play John Wall against any other point guard, but you could play John Wall against any other player, period. So if you wanted to match up like Wall versus like Anthony Davis, which it sounds like Mark would be willing to do, you know, you could even do a challenge like that. So again, like, you know, if you don't have the app, no halftime yet, you definitely need to get on it and use the promo code. What's the promo code, Mark?
B-ball, B-B-A-L-L.
You put in that promo code, you get an additional $25. Again, a lot of fun. And since we're on the topic of no halftime, you need to make a no halftime challenge, Mark. You want to use John Wall.
You get Jared Dudley, I get John Wall.
If I would get like the pounds of gravy juice that come out of Jared Dudley at Thanksgiving, like then I would take Jared Dudley. But no, like, so you want John Wall. Will you give me any, like, you want me to do another point guard, or you want me to do, you know what? How about I'll take Lillard in the next game versus John Wall.
Dame's my main man, but I'll take that.
Two very comparable players, especially without Beal. You know, basically on teams, they're basically running solo right now. Both usage rates over 30, you know.
Lillard's had a very nice season as well from a fantasy perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise for me because I actually thought, actually, not. No, I knew. Again, they have no one there, so it's you kind of knew you're gonna be. He's gonna do well because I mean, it's just who else didn't give the ball to? I mean, besides him and McCollum.
Yeah, but the line, like, he's averaging almost 25 points a game.
Yeah, but think about it. Again, who else besides McCollum? Like,
he's averaging almost 5 rebounds a game. Like, he's just doing all sorts of things. He's averaging 3 3-pointers a game. Like, he's not Steph Curry, but he'd lead the league in it like a non-Steph Curry year.
All right, so but before the year, I told you that Lillard's going to average 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 3-pointers. Would you would be surprised at that? Looking at Portland's roster.
I would say that's in play, but that's not the most likely outcome.
What did you expect out of Lillard?
Well, so his last 3 seasons, he averaged 19, 20, and then 21 points. I would say, yeah, he could probably get up like a fair over under is 22 or 22 again, and a half.
Well, again, 20. So that's 21 points with LaMarcus Aldridge, whose usage rate was absurd, and they would, you know, and with Nicholas Batum, and with
as you see shots go up, like as shot attempts go up, shot. You know, field goal percentage usually goes down.
True.
I don't know. I wouldn't have expected like that big of a jump as he's gotten. Like, I'm trying to give him props here, Daniel.
No, I know. I'm just like, see, I'm just not like you're. It seems like you love Dame, whereas me, I like last year I kept calling him a tin man because I think he had no heart.
His assists have gone up, which is impressive considering that his, you know, the players around him has gotten less talented.
I mean, all right, he's definitely had a good year, but again, to me, it was kind of expected because their roster is just so depleted. But yes, it's all right. I'm with you. I'm going to give him some dap too. I'm just like,
what do you want from him, Daniel? What do you expect out of this guy?
Yeah, I don't. I think I just want him. You know what I want? And sometimes this is actually like a lot of like just quote unquote fans. I think go through this right when you see a guy who's like so. It's kind of like Eli Manning. And, I don't know why I keep making football references because I'm really not watching much football these days. I'm so into basketball, but it's like when you see players who don't show emotion, a lot of times you take that as being, you know, kind of like they don't care about the game or they're not playing with energy or they're kind of just being like kind of aloof on the court. And so like last year I got that a lot with Dame. Like it just seemed like he didn't care what was going on. So kind of like it struck a nerve with me, you know, I think that's what it is. But this year he has been a pleasant surprise in terms of like, He does look more. He's taking on more of a leadership role in Portland as well, and he does look like he has more invested this year. But there were games last year, man. I swear I'd watch, and it was like he wasn't there. And his defense last year, he basically became like James Harden towards the end of the year.
He's
like,
not great. He's not a great defender. There's no question about that. Well, hey, do you want to tell everybody how our last no halftime challenge ended?
All right.
Did you have to send money to me or not?
We're still calculating the numbers because there's still some debate about who won the contest.
No, there's no debate.
All right, Mark had Darren Collison when Rondo was out. Darren Collison had a great game, but he set the record for NBA turnovers this year with 42 turnovers he had. And I had Kevin Love, who played a tremendous game. He put it all on the floor for me. And at the end of the night, I may or may not have thought that I prevailed. It turns out Mark won the challenge, but I'm still not certain of this.
I'm gonna take that $5 and I'm gonna put it on my wall and frame it.
Like I just looked at the TV and you know what just happened? Another Darren Collison turnover. Like they won't stop, Mark. They just keep happening. Yet you somehow keep getting points. No, but you did beat me. You beat me in the challenge. It was close though. That was probably the closest one that we had. That was a lot of fun. And so our next one with John Wall, you getting John Wall, and me getting Damian Lillard, that will be another excellent one. And if anyone else wants in on that action, you can make the challenge on no halftime and send it to me or Mark. All right, getting to the end of the show, Mark, let me quick ask you thoughts on one other player that I want to know your thoughts on that I was getting asked a lot today. And I noticed my own answer like waffling. Between you, if you ask me something at like, and I apologize if you ask me something at like 2 p.m. versus like 6 p.m., I may have given you a different answer on this guy, Kelly Olynyk. Any interest here?
That's a tough one. He's another guy that's very like
intriguing, fantasy point
per
minute monster.
Points per minutes. I don't think that the role is going to be consistent enough. I think you pick him up and he's going to disappoint you. Like if you had the gumption to put him in your lineup and just play him for 10 straight games, you may be happy with it, but there's going to be like 4 bad games in there. And if you don't want to worry about that, I don't think the upside is so great that you have to. that you're missing out if you don't just leave them alone. That's what I'm not picking him up in any standard leagues for that reason.
I picked him up in one, and I hate myself for it because I agree with you. I mean, he's still not reliable. You can't count on it. He's gonna have a good game every 4 or 5 games, and then
you can't count on Brad Stevens. That's the biggest part.
Well, especially their front court, you can't. Yeah. All right, so that's all right. So we agree on Olynyk. One other player, I know we got to run. Ersan Ilyasova, any interest yet? The minutes now have been over 30 now, almost every game last like week or two now. Any interest?
Yeah, I've got the same answer. Just because it's been a little different for a couple of games, he hasn't sucked me in yet.
Ersan has sucked me in. Like, Stan Van said that he wants to give him some more minutes now. His body's been holding up, so I added Ersan in one league again.
Do you want to know how many straight games he's played 30 minutes?
It's only probably going to be one because the last game I don't think he hit 30. But
you want to know how many times in the last 4 games he's played 30? Once.
All right, you tell me his stats though. All right, since you want to keep going, tell me his stats for the last 4 games.
I'll give you all of December, which he's had some big minute games in. Right, he's played 26 minutes a game. He's averaging 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. He's shooting 47% from the field, 60% from the free throw line. He's blocking. He's getting a few blocks. He's got one block per game.
You're darn right he is, Mark. Keep it up. Keep going.
What else do you want? That's about it.
Yeah, I don't really know. That's about it. I'm just saying. Like the big thing with me, though, he had a game where he hit 34 minutes against Memphis, which was surprising because, against Memphis, you don't think he hit 30 to get that many minutes. And he was getting, below 20 minutes some game. So, again, he's a guy. We've all seen this in past years, right?
Yeah.
And if Stan Van starts giving him as many minutes as Marcus Morris and Reggie, whose minutes weren't great tonight, but all those guys, I think Ersan could have some value potentially. So, I did add him in one league. Again, I'm not, overly ecstatic. But again, those are two guys that I think have intrigued us for a couple of years now. Ersan, 4 or 5 years. But Ersan and Olynyk have kind of been two guys who have been, on my waiver wire already, 4 or 5 different times in a couple of leagues. So I want to get your thoughts on those.
Okay.
All right. Mark, why don't you tell the 5 viewers where they can find you?
If you want to talk to me, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts, and that is Mark with a C, just like Mr. Mark Gasol.
That's fantastic. And again, I'm Daniel Green. You can find me at Daniel A. Green 1. You can also find my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. If you would rate and subscribe, that would be fantastic. And have a good day. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, man.